Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra. Here you are, mister.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the familiar newsboy bringing you the latest news. Tragedy, comedy, heartbreak. And behind the news is the reporter who brings you the inside story, who digs out the facts which give meaning to the news. And tonight, we'll take you direct to Washington, where you'll meet such ace newsmen in an unrehearsed and spontaneous news conference with one of our nation's distinguished men, Senator Claude D. Pepper. Yes, it's America's press conference of the air, Meet the Press, created by Martha Rountree and presented to you by the makers of Maxwell House Coffee. Maxwell House, the coffee that's so delicious, it's bought and enjoyed by more people than any other brand at any price. Maxwell House, always good to the last drop. And now, the makers of Maxwell House take you to our nation's capital, where in a moment, Senator Pepper meets the press.
Here in Washington, news center of the world, ready for the conference are four of America's top newsmen. Their purpose is to get the story behind the story, to get the answers to the kind of questions you would ask if you were here. If the questions seem pointed at times, well, that's the only way to get a pointed answer. It's all done in the spirit of a free press and free television. Now meet Mr. Lawrence Spivak. Mr. Spivak is the editor of the American Mercury magazine. Next to him is Mr. Warren Francis. Mr. Francis is the president of the National Press Club and is with the Los Angeles Times. Another newsman here tonight is Mr. Ernest Lindley. Mr. Lindley is with Newsweek. Also noted among the press is Mr. Albert Warner. Mr. Warner is the well-known Washington News commentator. And folks, here with us is Miss Rountree. Miss Martha Rountree is the genial and attractive producer of Meet the Press. And now for our guest of the evening, Senator Claude D. Pepper. Senator Claude D. Pepper, Democrat of Florida, was elected to the Senate in 1936 and promptly established a reputation for eloquence and loyalty to the leaders of his party, which he vigorously maintains today. A New Deal adherent, he has never faltered on that path. And as a minority leader of the Senate War Investigating Committee, Senator Pepper has characteristically wrapped the Republicans in the recent Howard Hughes investigation. He has accepted the challenge of the press and does not know any of the questions that he will be asked.
Senator Pepper, are you ready to meet the press?
I suppose I'm as ready as I will be.
Will you come in, gentlemen? You know, Mr. Spivak, Mr. Francis, Mr. Lindley, and Mr. Warner. Well, if we're all settled, Mr. Spivak, would you like to start the first question?
Senator Pepper, General Marshall has charged Russia with creating bitterness and refusing to cooperate in building world peace. Do you agree with General Marshall?
Well, if he attributes devilish designs exclusively to the Soviet Union as the reason for their disagreement, I wouldn't say that they are the only devil in the world, but I will say that there's been a regrettable disagreement, and I hope that the ministers' conference is going to be the place and the time when those disagreements will be settled.
Well, who is the other devil, the United States?
No, there isn't any one devil that's responsible for the confusion of the present. You must remember, we just had a very disastrous war. The world is ruined economically. There's been a new shift in political power from certain nations of the past to new nations. We've emerged in the Western Hemisphere as the strongest nation in the whole world, and Russia the strongest nation in the Eastern Hemisphere. And it takes time for a great disturbance like World War II to settle. But I believe it can be done.
Mr. Lindley.
Senator Pepper, in a press conference last August, you sharply criticized the Marshall Program for Europe. Not in toto, but sharply nevertheless. Do you still hold those views?
Mr. Lindley, it depends on the way in which the Marshall Plan is used. I'm for the Marshall Plan because I think it's in the right direction. I think there was some unfortunate beginning about it, and I think it doesn't go far enough. But insofar as it purports to encourage those countries to help themselves and then offers our assistance to them when they do that, I'm for it. so long as it's not made a weapon in an ideological war.
In what respect doesn't it go far enough, in your opinion?
Not enough countries are aided by it. The countries of Western Europe are not the only countries in the world that are important to our American economy or to world peace.
But who is responsible for the fact that it doesn't include any countries in Eastern Europe?
That is probably a debatable question, and it'll be a long time maybe before all the facts are known so that absolute responsibility can be established. It's very unfortunate that the division does exist, and I think we must try to find a way to bridge the gap instead of widening the gap.
Mr. Warner.
Well, Senator, let me ask you, what is that way? For example, do you think it would do any good for President Truman and Marshal Stalin to have a conference between themselves in an effort to reach some kind of groundwork of agreement?
Mr. Warner, that would help. But the situation has drifted to such a bad condition that it cannot be remedied altogether overnight. It'll take time, it'll take earnestness, it'll take an honest effort to find the reasons for disagreement. It'll take patience, and it'll take a good long bit of effort.
But Senator, where do you begin? I mean, patience is a generality. You have to do something, don't you, to start the ball moving?
Well, I think one place to begin is for all of us to stop name-calling and to create in the United Nations organization an atmosphere of better cordiality. In the second place, I think we should try to find the things upon which we agree for a while and work upon those, such as economic matters and cultural matters and health matters and things of that sort, and let the tension that grows out of this post-war disturbance settle a little while. You can't make the world over in a day. I think sometimes we're a little impatient.
But there again, Senator, don't you have to have some dramatic, striking action in order to upset the present trend?
Well, I think, to be perfectly frank with you, that the best way to begin is for all of us to be willing to make some compromises and some concessions. I can't believe that the Russians are just the devil that's come up from the lower regions and that they are determined to destroy the world. I believe that they feel a certain amount of honesty in the claims and in the arguments that they make, and that it'll take time for them to understand us and for us to understand them. But the important thing is not to start a war, for nobody to strike a match in this explosive war atmosphere, which will be comparable to the Sarajevo assassination or to the beginning of World War II and will start World War III.
Mr. Francis.
Well, Senator, you say that you're partly for the Marshall Plan. Do you think we should tie some strings onto our advances to these other countries?
No, I am for the Marshall Plan. I say I regret that it was not presented in a little different way when it was first proposed. I regret that the United States didn't present the proposal to the countries of Europe rather than having Britain and France present it to Russia, for example, after they'd had a prior meeting with each other.
But, Senator, what I meant was, do you think we should apply some conditions to how they use that money?
No.
Political conditions?
No. To be perfectly frank with you, Mr. Francis, the more conditions we apply, the more we'll subject the plan to propaganda attack, which will make it more unworkable.
Just a moment, Senator, while we give you a chance here to catch your breath and our newsmen. Suppose we change the scene for a moment or so. Well, gentlemen, I guess those few moments gave you a chance to catch your breath. Suppose we pick up with Mr. Spivak.
Senator, you said a moment ago that you thought the time had come to end name calling, and I think most Americans agree with you. But just how are we going to get the Russians to stop calling us names?
Well, I think for a while we might try what General Marshall proposed at London, the suggestion that we get on the business and we not reply. I've found sometimes in a quarrel that if you let the other fellow talk himself out and you don't argue back, he'll quit eventually.
But he doesn't seem to be ready to quit doing things. I don't think the name-calling is so bad, but how are you going to keep the Russians from going on with the acts that they have shown us definitely out to conquer the world?
Well, now, Mr. Spivak, I don't believe the Russians are out to conquer the world. I don't believe they're out to conquer Europe. I don't believe the Russians want war any more than we do. And I believe that if you'll give the matter a little time, and we'll all have patience, and we'll all try honestly to see one another's point of view, that we can establish a sound basis of peace.
One more question, Senator. Is there any question in your mind but that they are making progress, the communists are making progress in the conquest of Italy and France, and that they have gobbled up most of Eastern Europe?
Well, Mr. Spivak, I do not accept the thesis that's customarily assumed at the present time, that wherever you find the Communist Party, that you find the Russian government directing and controlling that party. If Russia were to sink tomorrow, there'd be Communist parties that would remain in the world. I don't see why people should embrace anything except our democracy, but today that has come to be one of the political philosophies of the world, and a lot of people believe in it, whether the Russians live or don't live.
Mr. Lindley.
Senator Pepper, do you recognize any vital difference between an American communist and an American progressive?
Yes, sir, I certainly do. In the first place, it's a matter of degree. The progressive, it seems to me, has never threatened the deprivation of civil rights. And it is a part of the communist philosophy, as is generally understood, that civil rights have to be subordinated to the public interest. They put economics first and don't preserve civil rights the way the progressive does.
You regard that just a matter as a matter of degree and not a matter of fundamental principle?
Well, I think, as Judge Holmes said one time, everything from the 12 tables to the present is a matter of degree, Mr. Lindley.
Do you believe that the American progressives can and should work with the communists?
Well, I don't think there's any reason why they should associate themselves together. I consider myself a progressive Democrat, and I believe in working with the Democrats. Sometimes we do make a pretty good peace with the Republicans. I don't suppose that's going too far. But I certainly don't consider that there's any necessity of bringing the communists into it. I've been a progressive all my life, and I never have seen but many communists in my whole life, in spite of the furor that you hear so much of today.
Mr. Warner.
Senator, let me ask you about this bill for emergency relief for Europe. I think in the Senate yesterday you voted against the reduction in the amount of the relief.
That's correct.
As I remember it, Senator Glenn Taylor of Idaho voted in favor of the reduction.
Yes.
Now, you two senators were the only ones, I believe, in the Senate who got a 100% mark on Henry Wallace's slate of the way people voted, the merits of their votes on legislation. So I'd like to know which of you has now fallen from grace.
Well, or backslidden? Well, I don't know how you might term that. I haven't talked to Mr. Wallace about this particular bill. The last time I talked to him, two or three months ago, he indicated that he was generally favorable to the Marshall Plan. Now, as for myself, I'm in favor of giving the people of Europe and all other peoples in the world enough help to enable them to survive. I think this present plan, if it's an ideological weapon, is a great mistake, but it's in the right direction. I wish that it were not limited to Austria and France and Italy. With the assumption that it had a political significance, I wish we were ready to help England more than we are helping her at the present time and other nations in Europe. And that includes Eastern Europe, and that includes the Far East, and that includes the Middle East, and some nations in South America. I'm just sorry that we're limiting it to those three nations.
Senator, as a matter of fact, most of the, a very sizable part of the support for the relief bill comes from those who consider it a weapon to halt Russian aggression, don't you think?
I think you are very much correct in that, Mr. Warner, and I think it's exceedingly unfortunate. If this legislation is enacted as a weapon against communism, as an ideological warfare instrument, instead of something that will appeal to the patriotism of these people that we're helping, then it's just going to be a question of time until it'll fail. I think we ought to do it in the first place through the United Nations organization. We should have done the Greek-Turkey program the same way, as I said in the Senate. Every time we get away from the UN, we weaken the UN. And it's just like Greece. We just keep pouring in more and more money and more and more money. We take over these countries a little bit. We have to take them over more. And I think we better keep it on the basis of need.
Mr. Francis.
Senator, you've been saying what you think is in the Russian mind. You've spent a lot of time in Russia in the last couple of years.
No, only 11 days out of 4 months that I traveled abroad did I spend in the Soviet Union. That's the only time I've ever been.
Well, Senator, I
plenty
to
write
you,
a book.
I wanted to ask you if you thought that the Russian government and the Russian foreign policy had the support of the Russian people.
I don't have any way of knowing whether he does or not.
You don't know whether Molotov is speaking for himself or for several hundred million?
I do not. I have generally assumed, however, that when a government stays in power, as long as the Soviet government has stayed in power, namely since 1917, it must have a considerable basis of popular support from the people.
Mr. Spivak.
Senator, if communism is bad and democracy is good, what objection can there be to tying the Marshall Plan to something that's so good?
Well, you mean condition it upon uprooting communism?
Well, certainly condition it upon the spreading of democracy.
Well, now, I'm in favor. I'm in favor of the spreading of democracy in every part of the world. But there are many ways to spread democracy. You can't cram democracy down the throats of people. And you can't buy them off from communism. We haven't got enough money to buy the people of the world off from communism. The best way, in my opinion, to spread democracy is to establish democracy so firmly here that we'll be able to propagate it to all the nations and peoples of the world. We'll be able to help them. We'll set them a good example and the like, and not to try to buy them or cram it down their throat.
But certainly, Senator, we oughtn't help those who are spreading totalitarianism.
Well, now,
or should we?
Mr. Spivak, we and the communists have been living in this world a good many years together. Karl Marx started the talking about communism, as you know, in the last century. And it seems to me that unless we're willing to be blown to some other world, to get away from a world where communism exists, we've got to live in a world with communism. And that they've got to live in a world with capitalism. And the sensible thing to do is from to learn to live together. They've got to live together whether they like it or not.
We weren't able to get along with the fascists, were we, Senator Pepper?
Well, we are living in the world today with a good many fascists that haven't been uprooted. Perón, I think, would qualify as a fascist, and Franco would qualify as a fascist. We are living in the same world with them.
Would you favor aiding Franco, Senator?
I'm in favor of distinguishing between what you do for economic ends and what you do for political purposes. I don't favor political loans. And I'm perfectly willing, through the United Nations, to help any nation in the world to become a customer for the United States farmer and the United States manufacturer.
Well, Senator, the Spanish people are in a very bad way. Would you aid the Spanish people today if you thought it aided Franco?
I would do it as a part of a comprehensive world plan through the United Nations organization, provided they'd come in and give a fair predicate as a basis for that aid.
Mr. Warner.
Senator, you spoke of Karl Marx, but didn't even Karl Marx warn of expansionist Russian nationalist aggression?
Well, today, Russia, it seems to me, doesn't have any more influence in the world than we have. We are the dominant nation in the world, and we are capitalistic democracy, and we're going to keep on being a capitalistic democracy, and communism is not going to overthrow us either. And I think the most overrated thing I know of is the present fanatical fear of this thing called communism. They'd a whole lot better be concerning themselves about the high cost of living. That's hurting the housewife a great deal more than communism is, yet you can't get Congress to do anything about the cost of living, yet they'll spend billions in a so-called fight against communism somewhere else in the world.
Well, they'd cut down taxes. We'd have a little more money to buy things with, wouldn't we?
Well, no doubt we will. I'm willing to cut taxes, provided we do it fairly and don't give it all to the rich who need a cut least.
Mr. Lindley.
Senator, you said that the United States has influence over a greater area of the world than the Soviet Union. Isn't that because most of the people of the world prefer democracy or at least independence to being satellites of the Soviet Union?
I hope they do. I certainly hope they do, and I don't think there's any question but what democracy is going to be the political philosophy that will survive in the world.
You've tried to give the impression that you thought that the Soviet Union had not been aggressive and expansive. How do you justify what the Soviet Union has done in Eastern Europe in plain violation of the Yalta Agreement?
I do think it's aggressive. I do think it's aggressive. And in certain respects, I think they've been expansive. But I think there have been a good many other countries that have done the same thing. Mr. Lindley, I'm not defending the Soviet Union. I'm defending the peace of the United States of America. I say we've either got to destroy them or let them destroy us, or we've got to live together. Now, I prefer the third course, and I think it's the sensible one.
Senator, how can you reconcile your opposition to aggression and your devotion to the United Nations with the statement that the Soviet Union has been aggressive, but you're still not worried about it?
Yes, it's been aggressive, and there have been many other nations in history that have been aggressive, and there are nations in the world today that are aggressive. But
Who, besides the Soviet Union?
Well, the United States of America and the British Empire and a great many other nations have their
today.
Own, have in a certain sense. But I don't say that they are aggressive in the sense that the Soviet Union is. I say that I'm not defending what the Soviet Union has done. But I am saying that what they have done doesn't necessitate a declaration of war, or it doesn't mean that we can never live together in peace. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying the countries in Eastern Europe that they are supposed to have done such aggressive things upon were the very countries that a little while ago went over into Russia, killed the Russian soldiers, killed the Russian civilians as allies of Hitler in the war.
Would you say that was true of Poland?
No, and I'll say that there were 6 million civilian Poles that lost their lives in this war, and they lost their lives to the Nazis, not to the Russians.
Mr. Francis.
But, Senator, how long do we have to follow this appeasement route?
I don't call it appeasement. I call it simply a sensible adjustment of our differences.
Well, when does it end?
It'll end eventually when there are sensible enough people in Russia and in this country to sit down together and find a common sense basis of working together.
Well, haven't
when you
we
get
tried?
More liberals, when you get more progressive liberals running the foreign policy of the United States, and more sensible and understanding people running the foreign policy of Russia, then you'll have better relations between the United States and Russia.
Mr. Warner.
Senator, may we go to domestic affairs? Are you in favor of restoring price controls and rationing?
I certainly am, Mr. Warner. I'm in favor of doing whatever is necessary to keep prices down and to stabilize the economy of this country. The present high cost of living is lowering the living levels of the masses of the people of this country. It's endangering the strength of our democracy. And you will see that if these prices keep on going up, the American citizen will become so irritated and so annoyed by next spring that the Congress will not adopt the Marshall Plan and will not help Europe.
Mr. Spivak.
Senator, you said just a moment ago, before we went to high prices, that conditions in the world would be very much better if more liberals were running the foreign affairs of the United States.
That's correct.
Now, I thought that President Truman, a Democrat, and in the minds of some Democrats, a liberal, and Marshall, who was appointed by him, were largely running the affairs of the United States. Now, am I to understand by that you don't consider them liberals?
You hadn't heard of the election of 1946 when, unhappily, the Republicans came to power in the American Congress, Mr. Spivak?
Well, are the Republicans running the foreign affairs of the United States?
Well,
are they running
the
State Department?
If you had the veto upon what the government of the United States did, wouldn't it be fair to say that you were a partner in the foreign policy of that country?
Well, Senator, have the Republicans vetoed anything of any importance?
They have the veto in the American Congress. As today, for example, you don't think the administration could get through a bill giving aid to Eastern Europe or giving aid to the so-called communists in northern China if no matter how many commissions might find that they were entitled to it.
Well, would you vote for such a bill giving aid to the communists
would.
And giving aid to the communist nations in Eastern Europe?
I certainly would, as a part of a comprehensive plan to give aid to those who need it through the United Nations organization, just as UNRWA gave it.
Even if they
and
were out to destroy us?
And until we get it back
us.
On a need basis and get it out of politics, we are never going to be able to get the world stable again.
Even if they were out to destroy us, you'd give that aid?
Well, now, I'm not prepared to accept, Mr. Spivak, that they are out to destroy us. And the best way to keep them from getting disposed to destroy us is to continue to stimulate the well-being of the people of those countries. If they go hungry and if they starve and if they see people in other countries that are getting help from us because they play ball with us politically, it'll just mean that it'll be more and more fuel for the propaganda against us. in those countries.
Let's get back to Mr. Warner's question again.
Well, I still want to stay on domestic affairs. Senator, are you a candidate for the vice presidential nomination?
I'm not. I'm a candidate for the United States Senate from Florida in 1950 again, and I'm not a candidate for anything else.
You'd be willing to be drafted?
If at the time I thought I could render greater service in some other office, then I would consider.
Mr. Lindley.
Would you consider, Senator, running for either president or vice president on a third-party ticket?
No.
Mr.
I'm a Democrat, and I propose to continue a Democrat. But as you know, Mr. Lindley, I have supported progressive principles in the Democratic Party. I'm a Roosevelt Democrat, and I'm going to keep on being a Roosevelt Democrat.
Mr. Francis.
Senator, you said you were a candidate in 1950. I understand there's a little trouble down there right now. What do you have to say about this recall or unseating against you?
Have you ever heard about politics, Mr. Francis?
That's
all
a good
I
enough
can...
answer.
I suspect that's the best way to describe it.
Mr. Spivak.
Senator, what do you think of the action of the motion picture industry in barring the 10 men who from working in the motion picture industry because of the contempt action?
I think it was a gross mistake which they'll live to regret. It's an acceptance of congressional censorship upon the people they employ. And I think if they ever once let censorship be established, although it's now against somebody else, it's now against the employees, eventually, it'll come home to the employers, the makers of pictures.
Well, Senator, do you think that over 300 members of the House of Representatives were wrong in citing those 10 men for contempt?
Well, I don't want to pass judgment on what the House of Representatives does. That's a matter for them to decide. But I will say that I thought that there was considerable question, speaking as a citizen now.
Yes.
I thought there was considerable question as to whether or not the House Un-American Affairs Committee has been invading the civil rights of some of the citizens of this country. And I think that those who believe in civil rights and want to protect them and preserve them had better look to their security of those rights, or they'll be whittled away by just such investigations as have been going on in certain spheres in the Congress.
But, Senator, how do you find out the enemies of this country if you don't try to identify them in some... inquisitorial process?
Well, now, you know, I think this country has been getting along fairly safely for a good long while before the House Un-American Activities Committee was set up. And I think if by some misfortune, maybe, they were to cease altogether, that this country would still be fairly secure.
Well, Senator, do you think that if the Congressional Committee asked a man whether he was a member of the Republican Party or the National Manufacturers Association, that the committee would be guilty of infringing upon his civil rights?
Miss Farback, that's a close question, constitutionally. Naturally, I regret personally that these men didn't go on and say whether they were or were not members of the Communist Party. Personally, I don't think they were, but they wanted to make a constitutional issue of it. But I do think that you've got to be very careful as to whether you're going to invade the civil rights of people who have a right to choose their own church, their own political party, and to think and to speak and to have a free press, as Americans are accustomed to do.
I'm sorry to interrupt, gentlemen, but our time's up. I want to thank you, Senator Claude Pepper, for your willingness to meet the press.